بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Inshallah, today we'll be continuing with Surah An'am. So we started off from the 8th juz and then we completed the 8th juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts out with the ayah, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَّا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if He were to reveal upon people the angels, if He were to show the people all of the angels, if He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were to show them all the miracles, وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَّا كَانُوا. If He were to bring back all the dead people back to life in front of certain people, there will always be people that will still not believe. They'll still make up excuses. They will still deny even those obvious things that are becoming clear and plain to them. What this means is there always are going to be people who will not believe no matter what, even if they were to see every sign in front of them. Otherwise, we can ask ourselves the question too, why would anyone want to fall when during the end of times, why would anyone want to fight Isa alayhi salam on the side of Dajjal? It just does not make sense for that to even happen, but there will be people on that side. So what this means is, we shouldn't always assume that if we show scientific miracles of the Quran or some interesting sunnahs or facts of Islam that align with science, that people will automatically believe. It's good for our own iman that we learn these scientific facts that match with Islam, but keep in mind that it is not the Islamic texts that are conforming with science. It is the scientific observations that are conforming to Islam. It's the other way around. What does this mean? Even if Islam is saying something that is apparently against a scientific fact, it does not mean Islam is wrong or that text is wrong. It could mean that A, that scientific fact requires much more research, and scientific findings, of course, change all the time. Or it could mean that we haven't fully understood the realities of that text. That's a very, very quick example. There's an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. And another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about he's talking about the sun and he's saying, تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا, that the sun is actively moving towards wherever its destination is. And another ayah Allah says about the sun and the moon, كُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ, they're both floating in their orbit. Now, there are some scholars in the past that wrote in their books that the sun moves around the earth. They wrote based on these ayahs specifically that the sun orbits around the earth, and this orbit was referring in the ayah, this orbit referring to the sun orbiting around our planet, that they use this ayah to show that the sun is moving around the earth, and that orbit is referring to this orbit of the sun, which is going to be around our planet. And that at that time, that was also the dominant scientific theory. That was the scientific theory for almost 1,000 years. People believed that the sun is moving around the actual earth. So all the scientists accepted it for a very, very, very long time. So the scholars that were writing about this ayah, they also mentioned the same thing. Until the 16th century, where Copernicus came, and he started to propose a different model, which of course was trying to say that it was not the earth, sun moving around the earth, it was the earth moving around the sun. Of course, that had errors too, because he considered the sun to be at the center of the universe. So there were some errors there as well. But nevertheless, then all of the scientists eventually, after many years, switched to that theory instead. And now we even fixed that theory and said that it's not that the earth is moving around the sun, which is in the center of the universe. Now what is our theory? That the earth is moving around the sun as part of the solar system, and the entire solar system along with the sun is also moving around the entire Milky Way galaxy. Now when we look at that ayah, we get a different meaning. That ayah is saying that the sun is moving towards its destination and it is in orbit. It is moving in its orbit. So what is that orbit? Now that we understand it, the sun's orbit is actually around the entire galaxy. Just a quick fun fact, the last time we were at this place in our galaxy, currently the sun, the entire solar system is moving around the entire Milky Way galaxy. The last time we were at this exact spot in the Milky Way galaxy was when the dinosaurs were alive. So it's very interesting that we went around the entire solar system and back to this exact same spot. But anyway, so now the ayah can be understood in a different way. So that's what it is. It's not that the ayah is wrong, it's just that There are some things that we just haven't understood yet. Moving forward, what's the point of all of this? Why am I mentioning this? Is that we need to take heed from not all, like, we don't need to ask Allah to show us the dead and wait for the major signs to come, wait for Isa alayhi salam, wait for Dajjal. No, that's not how our life should be. We should take heed from all of the other signs Allah Ta'ala is always giving us. And this pandemic may be the greatest sign we will ever be shown in our lives. For many of us, this may be the greatest sign that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is showing. And there might be nothing else, because who knows who's going to see the end of times, and we don't want to see the major signs. Now, may Allah save us from that. So we should see it as a reason to change ourselves, reform our character, reform our behavior, and start changing our mindset regarding the true master of our livelihood and our lives themselves. Don't wait for some major event. Many of us keep putting off deen, thinking that we'll follow it, you know, following it properly once we get time. That's what we say. Once we get time, we'll change. Once we get time, we'll start praying all five times, salah properly. Once we get time, we'll start adopting more sunnahs. That's what we keep telling ourselves. But that time never comes. And recently, just this past year, we saw that there was that, and I know their family personally too, there was that one student who was only 21 years old, and he got into a car accident. What happened was he went up a hill, and when he went up a hill, he went too fast, and it kind of hit, the car hit the ground. He got ejected from his seat. Now, at that moment, he probably was not thinking that this is the end of my life, that me going up this hill will be the end of my life. But that's what happened. And right at that moment, he ended up passing away. So we don't know when our life will end. Don't wait for anything. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim which I wanted to narrate. Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Badiru bil a'mali sittan." Hasten towards doing good deeds before, not till, not when, but before six things come. What are those six things? Tulu' ash-shamsi maghribiha, before the sun ends up rising from the west, before the end of May, or the major signs, the smoke comes, before the Dajjal comes, before ad-dabba, before the beast comes, wa khassat ahadikum, and before one of your death comes, and finally wa amril 'amma, and before the day of judgment comes. Before all of these comes, take heed and start doing good deeds. Meaning, don't wait for these things to come to change your lives. Because if you haven't done so by then, by the time the major signs come, or your death comes, or day of judgment comes, and you still haven't changed yourself, guess what? Then most probably it is already too late for you. Because the trials and fitnas before all of these signs are much more easier. And all of those fitnas are worse. If you can't handle yourself right now, how are you going to handle yourself at that time when it's going to be worse? So remember, tomorrow never comes. Moving forward in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the cattle. The name of the surah is Al-An'am, the cattle. So the Arab people, the pagans, had a lot of weird customs about slaughtering them, eating them. This part is halal, that part is haram, this part is for our priests, this part is for our men, not for our women. They had all these weird customs that they had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of them. And he says how all of that is false and they have no proof behind it. I'm not going to go into that because it doesn't really concern us as much. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one of these ayahs that قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded the people that you're saying, okay, this animal is halal, this animal is haram, this animal. Allah is reminding them that haram is not only about food. There are other things that are haram as well. And what are they? For example, shirk. He says shirk is haram. Being bad to your parents is haram. Taking the lives of children due to fear of poverty. Many of us, because we consider children a financial burden. They're not a financial burden. They're actually a blessing from Allah. Committing vile deeds is haram. Taking lives of others is haram. Taking the wealth of others is haram. Not fulfilling people's rights is haram. Not fulfilling people's trust is haram. Allah is saying all of these things are haram too. Not just food. Not just food. There are other things too. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a very important principle. He says, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha wa man jaa bis sayyi'ati fala yajza mithlaha." Whoever does a good deed, he gets 10 times that reward, and whoever does an evil act, he only gets the sin for that one evil act. It's not multiplied. For many of us, there's no longer, we have a lot of time now because of this pandemic. There's no more commute to work. There are less trips to the store. There are less trips to people's houses. There are less meetings. There are less classes. And sadly, there are less trips to the masjid as well. So use this time to do as many deeds as you can, because Allah is telling you here we're multiplying all of your good deeds by 10 anyway. And here's a nice equation for us to work out for Ramadan. It's mentioned in the book Al-Amali of Imam Al-Mahamri rahimahullah that Rasulullah said in one hadith. This is a very famous hadith that many of us heard about, the first part of Ramadan being a mercy and all of those things. One part of that hadith is Rasulullah said, that فَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ فِيهِ خَيْرًا فَحَظُّهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْخَيْرِ كَمَنْ أَدَّى فَرِيضَةً فِيمَا سِوَاهُ. Whoever does any optional act in the month of Ramadan, it is as if he'll get the reward of doing a farad act outside of Ramadan. And whoever does a farad act in the month of Ramadan, it is as if he's done a 70 farida, 70 farad acts. So your nafal acts currently are equaling all of your farad acts plus that times 10. Plus that times 10. And your farad acts are already being multiplied by 70. And now multiply that by 10, so that's 700. And imagine if you put all of that together and catch Laylatul Qadr as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us He's multiplying our good deeds, and this is the perfect time to use that to our advantage. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in towards the end of the surah, end of Surah An'am, قَلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَحْيَايَ وَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that my salah, my prayer, my offerings, my life and my death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now most people will survive this pandemic, and many will pass away. So now we should live our lives, whether it's before this pandemic, after this pandemic, if Allah gives us tawfiq, that we should live our lives according to this verse of the Quran. We need to right now ask all of ourselves this question. Is your salah for Allah, or is it to show others that you're praying it? Are all of your actions and sacrifices for Allah, or is it for other people? Is every part of your life and your living for Allah, your work, your relationships, your dress, your job, your wealth, is it all in accordance to what Allah wants, or is it for other people? And if your death comes to you right now, at this moment, a heart attack, stroke, this disease, pandemic, whatever it may be, na'udhu billah, can you say to yourself that I am ready to meet Allah Ta'ala and show Him all of my deeds? Because, as this ayah says, because my life and my death is for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. إِنَّ صَلَاتِ نُسِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So live your life according to this verse. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts Surah A'raf. A'raf is talking about it's like a high wall that will be there on the Day of Judgment between Jannah and Jahannam. Those people in Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions in his tafsir, that those people whose good and bad deeds will be equal, they will be on top of that wall. And he says, that according to some narration, the people who are on that wall, they will wait until all the people of Jannah go to Jannah and all the people of Jahannam go to Jahannam. Then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in Jannah as well. Now there's a whole conversation that happens between the people of Jannah and Jahannam in those ayahs. We don't have time to go through all of that, but it's very interesting if anyone wants to see that whole what the conversation is going to be between the people of Jannah, Jahannam, and the people of A'raf. It's a very interesting thing, and it reminds us of a lot of things. Anyway, much of the surah ends up talking about the hereafter. There's one very, very important ayah that we should reflect on the first page of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ مَتَّقَنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you a place to settle in this world, and we gave you many, many things. We gave you dwellings, and we gave you a house, and we gave you shelter, and ma'ayish, and things you could use for your livelihood. But قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. But very little do you end up thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now that the fact that this pandemic is here, we have lots of complaints. We're making dua, Ya Allah, our job. Ya Allah, our money. Ya Allah, this. Ya Allah, that. We have so many complaints. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us here that we still have so many blessings. Just having a place in this world to settle down, just having our houses where we are safe, are enough of a blessing on their own. And in our case, there are so many more things we have in our houses and so many more things that are available to us as opposed to people in other countries. And in another ayah of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the people of Thamud who are destroyed, وَذْكُرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ and وَذْكُرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْصُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. He reminds them that, look, I gave you houses, you're building houses from mountains, I gave you all of these things, all of these dwellings. So وَذْكُرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ, mention the blessings of Allah. And so that's a reminder for us too. When you make dua this Ramadan, don't only complain about the conveniences that have been taken away from your life. And Ya Allah, I lost this. Ya Allah, this. Ya Allah, that. No. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that you have as well, because we have so many things available to us. Then in one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. He talks about Nuh alayhi salam and Hud alayhi salam and Salih alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam and Shu'aib alayhi salam. One interesting point about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were primarily destroyed. Why? Because of them misdealing with others in their financial transactions. In financial dealings, they were dishonest. now that this pandemic is here, but don't let panic, fear, and financial instability force you to compromise on your eating for worldly gains. There are people that are doing that. Because of this pandemic, they're going into some certain areas, I'm not going to mention them, which are obviously very, very gray areas Islamically. It's not completely haram. They're going into that. One last ayah, then inshallah we'll end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the surah, Ya bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sons of Adam, I'm referring to mankind, khudu zinatakum, that hold on to your zina, hold on to your outer look, like make sure you have good appearance, inda kulli masjid, near every masjid. The Mufassirun, the scholars of Tafsir, tell it doesn't matter where this masjid is, make sure you look proper on the outside. Now, right now, many of us, we may have been forced to make our houses into our masajid, but this doesn't mean we should stop looking the part. So you are still in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is especially for men. That try dressing as you would when you go to the masjid, at least, and especially at least, for the time of Isha and Salat al-Taraweeh. Wear a qamis, wear a jubbah, topi, itar, at least for some of these salahs, make sure you're trying to khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. You're showing Allah that you weren't only wearing these clothes just because it's the masjid and the management wants you to wear it, but no, you want to express it. So in our houses too sometimes, maybe for the day of Jum'ah and for some specific salahs, express the fact that this is now your current masjid because of the situation. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to act on what has been said. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.